Good morning to everyone. I'm very happy to be with you and to pray that the Lord will bless us together in this time. Now, there is most that joke that asks, where would man be without the woman? And then they said, still in the Garden of Eden. Well, that's just a joke. I was happily married for 40 years when my wife passed on. And I only thank the Lord for the time that we were together and that we could be married. And when I look back, I even see that although we were happy, there were more things that we could have done, what I could have done. You know, that I could have built into my marriage. So what is God's plan for a happy marriage? First, I want to say, marriage is it's wonderful, but it's not easy. And I see that there are some among you that's not married yet, so I think that is an important thing. It's good that you're here, but it is something that we must understand. Marriage is wonderful, but it's not easy. And the reason for that is our different expectations. You know, we are thinking it is just a plane ride, the plane going up and doing my thing. But that's not how it is. I mean, there are difficulties, there are blocks of rock on the road, and sometimes it's very steep and slippery, sometimes it's just not easy. And therefore, we must know that marriage is not easy, and we must not be amazed. I say marriage is like walking a tightrope. Not because there is something wrong with God's plan, but it's because of our selfishness. It's because of our selfishness that it is making it very difficult in marriage. Because two selfish people are coming together, and now they must live together. And that's why it is so easy to fall off the rope. And that's why the divorce rate is so large in our country and throughout the world. The divorce rate is so high because people are just selfish, and they want their selfishness to be fulfilled. So, remember that. That's the big problem. The secret to have no trouble in marriage is in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 38. So then he who marries, his betrothed, does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. But now you're already married, so it's too late for you. So, I'm just playing. Marriage is better. But, you know, there's a secret that we must learn in marriage, and that is what we read in Proverbs. In Proverbs 4, verse 14, he's saying, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. But the abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. Nah? So, if you don't want poo, don't have an ox. Don't marry. Nah? Don't marry. But if you have an ox, then you will have poo. Nah? So, because we all want the crop. We want the crop, and therefore we need the strength of the ox. We need the other person. We need the husband. We need the wife, because we want a crop. Ne? But we must not think, because I've said it's two selfish people coming together. We must not think that there will be no poo. But the poo ratio must be right. Ne? If you have just poo, then you have a sick ox. Ne? then there's a problem, and the problem must be solved. You must seek help. No? But to have a good marriage according to God's rules, we will be able to handle it. No? People are breaking all the rules in marriage, and they think they'll be happy. But you can't break all the rules that God put into marriage and think you'll be happy. It's just like a person that is going around a corner at 180 kilometers, but the corner is saying you must take it at 60 kilometers per hour. If you have a crash, you must not be amazed. You must know that's how it will be. And in marriage, it's the same. If you do not do it according to the rules, then you will have a crash. So the first thing that we must know when we get married, or we want to marry, or when we are in marriage, is that we sometimes forget about the differences that there is. Now, the differences between man and woman. And it is these differences that makes it difficult. Because we are thinking differently, we are acting differently, therefore it makes it difficult. And therefore it's important that each one of the partners in a marriage must live according to the rules that God put into marriage. I mean, look just at getting ready for work. The man can wake up and in 10 minutes he's ready to go. The woman is waking up, but it's only 2.5 hours later that she's ready to go. Yeah? So, I mean, it's a difference. And that brings poo. That brings friction. And therefore, we must know it. That it will be like that. Just look at the difference. When two women are meeting each other and saying hi, the women are thinking immediately of all those things. Oh, look at the jewelry, look at the hair, look at the dress. Oh, this is what she got, this is what she's dressing. Oh, look, she's covering something there. I mean, if two men are meeting, they just say hi, they see nothing. And that's why women are amazed when the husband is not seeing, she got a new dress on. The husband is not seeing that she got her hair done. Because men are different. Men are just looking and just saying hi. But women, when they are looking at each other, and when they are looking, they see all these things, you know. They are not just looking at one thing. How they see themselves in the mirror. You know, a woman can be perfect. She's looking at the mirror. She's, no, look how I'm looking. And the man, he can be a skinny like that guy, but when he's looking in the mirror, he's thinking. He's thinking, hey, look at that nice guy, you know. So, I mean, all these things I'm showing you, that's why it's making it difficult. And now we are selfish. I just understand my own way. The woman just understands her own way. And now there is friction. Look at colors. Yeah, look at colors. A man will just say, that's violet. But the woman, she will say, no, it can be wine red, it can be plum, it can be eggplant, it can be grape, it can be purple, it can be lavender. But for a man, it's just violet. And then there's friction again. Just the way we observe colors. And that's why you can't differentiate. The man cannot differentiate between his wife's dresses. When one is plum and one is eggplant, for him it's the same. He's just seeing violet. Yeah. So that's the problem. Look at the way men and women are dressing. No, the woman, she got that cupboard full of clothes, and she said, I got nothing to wear, and she's crying. And the man, he got that one thing and he said, oh, well, that will do me for a week. I have everything, you know. Life is good. So the man cannot understand if the woman is saying, I have nothing to wear. And he's looking at the cupboard and he's saying, how can it be? Yeah? But that's how it is. You're going to the hairdresser. You know, the man, before, after. You can see that there's a difference. Yeah? It cost him 50 bucks. And he's happy. And look at the woman. Before and after, it looks exactly the same. Exactly the same, but it cost 500 bucks. And then she asked the husband, how am I looking? And he's saying, but you're still looking the same. There's no difference. Yeah? So can you see? It brings friction. Huh? It brings friction. But, you know, the main thing is that men and women are thinking differently. A woman, her mind, is a nest of wires. And everything is connected to everything. Everything is connected to everything. If you say something to your wife, she's connecting it to that and 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 that. And all you're doing is you're just telling her something. You're just saying one thing. But she's connecting everything. And the problem is that those connections are driven by an energy. And that energy is emotion. It's driven by emotion. She's driven by it. If something happened and there's emotion involved, it's engraved into the memory. And that's why your wife is not forgetting something. Because it's in her mind, it's engraved because of the emotions. And therefore, if you do something, she will connect it to everything. Everything is connected to everything. There's nothing that's not connected. Everything is connected. And we as men are much more simple, and therefore it's difficult for us to understand it. No? A man, how is a man thinking? A man thinks differently. Nothing is connected to nothing. A man, his life is like little boxes. So there's a box for the car, and there's a box for money, and there's a box for his wife, and there's a box for his work, and everything is a box. Yeah? And the secret for a man is the boxes does not touch each other. He's not connecting everything to everything. But the woman is connecting everything to everything. So when a man discusses something, he's taking out just that box, that one box, and he's just discussing that. And when he's finished, he put it carefully back. And there's one box a man likes very much, and that's the box where there's nothing in. It is his nothing box. And the man can be hours into his nothing box and still breathe. A woman cannot go into the nothing box. She cannot go into there because she will always want to put in something. She will say, now you can put something here, you can put a little table, or you can put something there. But that does not work for a man. And you know, therefore sometimes you'll ask your husband, what are you thinking? And he say nothing. And then you don't believe him. Because you can't think of nothing. Because a woman cannot think of nothing. A man can. A man can think of nothing. And if he's telling you nothing, then you will say, no. Now there's something you're thinking of. Tell me that thing you're thinking of. And then the man said, but I'm thinking of nothing. And the woman cannot believe him, because for the woman, everything is connected to everything. Everything is connected to everything. But for a man, it's possible. And that's why, if a man is busy with his one box, don't give him vital information. Because he will say, but he will not hear. He will not hear what you say. And then later you say, I told you. He will say, no, you did not. Because he was in that one box with his car or his whatever. And you talk. So, when you speak to your husband, tell him, look at me. And we as men, we must say, no, listen, move, listen to your wife. Listen what she's saying. And then go with your box. How are we handling stress? How is a woman handling stress? She's talking. She's talking about it. No? If she would keep quiet, her brain would explode. Because she must talk. Because she's driven by energy. No? And now, sometimes we as men, we are guilty. We don't want to listen to all those words. We want to say, don't think about it. And then your wife is very angry. Because she can't. She must talk. And she wants to talk. And she wants to talk as much as possible. Because that's the way she's handling the stress. And she wants to speak to you. She wants you to listen. And we are very lazy as men to listen. Very lazy. We want to say, keep quiet. Just, it will be better. Because that's how men are handling stress. Men are handling stress by just being in their nothing box. Just being quiet. Just do nothing. That's how they handle stress. And now a woman on the other side says, speak about it. And the man does not want to speak about it. Because that's how he's handling it. Yeah? And that's where it is bringing the difficulty in. Just think. What is 5 minutes? 5 minutes for men. What are the men saying? What is 5 minutes for men? Yeah, it's 5 minutes. And what is for women? It's an indefinite period of time. If a woman is saying 5 minutes, it's an indefinite period of time. And that brings headache. What is nothing? If a man is saying nothing, what is it? It's nothing. And the woman? If a woman is saying nothing, there is something. So if a woman is telling you as a man, nothing, nothing is wrong, then she actually saying something is wrong. If a man is saying nothing is wrong, then nothing is wrong. No? And if a man sighs, if he say, what does he mean? Huh? You almost paid.
It's a relief.
The what?
Relief.
Yeah. Happy. Life is good. Life is good. If a woman sighs,
stress.
If a woman is saying, yeah, woman, stress, she is saying you're an idiot. So a man is saying, life is good. A woman is saying you're an idiot. No? If a man is saying, go ahead, what does it mean? Oh, he's polite. He said, go ahead. He's polite. And the woman? If she said, go ahead? If a woman is saying, go ahead, she is actually saying, Well, I give you the opportunity to explain the stupid thing that you did. Go ahead and tell it. So can you see the differences that there is? And that's why I've said at the beginning, marriage is wonderful, but it's difficult. And because we are selfish people, it makes it tough. Now, in the beginning, we really try to understand each other. But later, we don't mind. Now, because we say, oh, just go on. A man, a RAM in a computer, that's how quickly your computer can work. Now, woman has a lot of RAM. As I've said, they remember everything. But the man have just enough to keep him breathing and eating. That's the RAM that the man got. Very limited. And therefore, when the woman is asking in the evening, how was your day? And then the man said, oh, fine. And then she said, but what happened? And then the man starts to think, you know, he's going into his RAM and he's trying to remember, and then he gives you just the bottom line. Yeah, that and that and that. A woman is a detailed person. She wants to tell you the whole story, everything, how that one looks and what she was dressed like and everything, and then going on. That's a woman. And the man will say, you know, and he's just going on again. Even the differences in sex, and that brings making love. Yeah? Now, what I show you is not to say it will be working for everyone, but that's more or less a general thing. The heart is the heart, you understand that, no? The heart is there. And then there's the smiley face. We will call it the place of pleasure. That's now in the loving-making process. And so you understand my two symbols. The heart and the place of happiness. And now we have a problem there as well. God made actually a perfect deal, but because man and woman does not understand this deal, therefore, making love, sex, is where many problems are starting. For a man, generally, this is the basic interest. And therefore, if you're not married as a woman and you give that to a man, why will he be interested in getting anything else? Because he got his basic interest. And therefore, a lady that is giving that before marriage is stupid. Because then why will the man want to find anything else? No? So that's the man's basic interest. And that is a woman's basic interest. The basic interest of the woman is the man's heart. That's what the woman wants. So now you have a problem. There's two different basic interests. So what is the key? So the key for man is the heart. Now, can you already see we as men must go against our nature? We will come later to the plan that God is giving, but we must go against our nature. Our nature is down there, but we must go against it and say, no, but I must focus on the heart of the woman. I must make the heart of my wife happy. So that is the key for the man. No? So if the man is doing what God is asking, that gives him the green light to touch there. So we as men must go against our nature and work for the heart of the woman. And that gives us the green light. Man. The woman on the other side must also realize, now I'm talking of in marriage, this is what is in marriage, no? It's also for the woman. Must sometimes, I'm not saying always, sometimes go against her nature. To also know that I must give that key that I can get the green light to get there. So we can see that it is this that God is giving. This, I can call it, it's a huge deal for man is sex, and for women it's not that huge deal in marriage. But if we follow the pattern of God, that as men we work for the heart of the woman, we will have no problem having access to the pleasure. But we as men, we are guilty. We don't want to work for the heart of the woman. And we must repent from that. We must repent. The heart of the woman must be touched. That is what we must reach out to. Yeah, that's what we must reach out to. So I say, if we come now to God's plan, marriage is a commitment. It's a commitment. You know, many couples come to you as a pastor and they'll say, you know, I don't love my wife anymore. I don't love my husband anymore. I want to divorce. And then you ask, but what is the love? What are you speaking of in love? Then they say, but it's the feeling. I don't have the feeling anymore. Then I say, but it's not about feeling. It's about commitment. If you take a wife, if you take a husband for marriage, then the main thing, it's a commitment. It's a commitment to your wife, it's to your husband, to God. And you commit yourself to give everything for this person. When it's going well, when it's going bad, I'm giving the best for this person. That is what a marriage is. Love, I can say, the feelings, it's making it beautiful. But it's not the central matter. The central matter is the commitment. The feelings, the emotions must be the paper for the gift. If you receive a gift and it's wrapped beautifully, it's nice. But it's not about the wrapping. It's about the gift. And that's how marriage must be. That's what we must remember. So after 10 or 15 or 20 years, you must still say, I've made a commitment to this man, a commitment to this wife. And because I've made a commitment, therefore, I do that what God is asking of me. So, if we come now to what God is saying, the way to be happy, to live happy, is to obey God's instructions for the marriage. That's the only way that we can be happy. Now, let us, if we think of 1 Peter chapter 3, you can follow in your Bible, but I will show you also the verses here on the board. Verse 1 is saying, likewise, wives, be subject to your husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won over without a word by the conduct of their wives. Huh? So that's what God is expecting of a wife, to subject herself to the husband. Now, if you tell women this, the first thing they say to you, but I'm not his floor mat. That's the first thing they're saying. But they understand it wrong. It's about an order that God is giving in marriage. No? I must be willing to subject myself to the authority of my husband. And if you don't want to do that as a wife, you're not following God's plan. He is saying, when they see your respectful and pure conduct, if a man is experienced that the wife is respectful, and the wife is pure in her conduct towards him, then that's God's plan. That's what must happen. He's saying, now we can ask, but what does it mean to subject to my husband? He's first saying, do not let your adorning be external. The braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. No, he's not saying that you must not look after you, woman. He's saying, look after yourself. But he's saying, that's not the first matter. He's saying the first matter is, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with an imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. That's what it must be, a gentle and quiet spirit. That's what it means to subject to your husband, to have a gentle and quiet spirit. Do you have an angry spirit against your husband? If your husband is saying something that you don't like, are you immediately retaliating with bad words? Or can you just be quiet and say, no, it's right, my husband? And then later you can say, but what about this? Let us take a very simple example. If your husband is saying, let us paint that wall red, and you don't like red, what are you immediately doing? Now we can't do that. We can't paint it red. Then you have most not a gentle and quiet spirit. If you say, no, it's right, my husband, we can paint it red. Then later you can say, you know, I also think perhaps if we paint it a little bit more grayish, that will better fit in, but red is right. Then you've given your opinion, but you've done it in a quiet, gentle way. And you know, your husband will hear you. He will say, oh well, let us paint it gray. Because you've not opposed him. You know, I myself is a man, and the man is like a pig. Those of you that did some farming, if you push a pig from behind, what is the pig doing? It's pushing back. If you take it by its ears and you want to pull it, what does it do? It also pushes back. So we must never try that. That's not the way to handle a man. The way to handle a man is with a gentle, quiet spirit. Respectful. And you will get far with your husband. Far, very far. What does it mean? He continues in 1 Peter. He is saying, adorn yourself by submitting to your own husband. That's what it means to submit to my husband. To have a gentle, quiet spirit. It's not that you must not give your opinion. It's not that you can't speak. You can. You must. Because sometimes men need help. But you must do it in a gentle, quiet way. That's how you must do it. Yeah? Gentle, quiet spirit. What does it mean to submit? It means to obey. Yeah? She obeyed, calling him Lord. Yeah? So she honored him. She respected him. She obeyed him. One time a woman came to me and said, you know my husband, I don't understand him. He's angry. I said, name me an example. She said, she asked the husband, what do you want for supper? And he said, no, I can't remember all the detail. He said, no, you can make a spaghetti bolognese. And then, when they reached the table, there was something else there. There was lasagna there. And the man is angry. And she can't understand it because she said, I thought that's much better. But I say, well, why did you ask him what he wants to eat? Why did you not just prepare the lasagna? No problem. But now you've asked him, you disobeyed what he asked, and now you are amazed. So, if you want to make lasagna, just make it, and he will be happy. But if you ask him, what do you want, and he is saying something, well, do that what he is asking. That is most... to obey him. And again I say, you can differ, but obey, and then mention your suggestion, but say, no, it's right, we can do it like that. So that's the picture for women. And if you do it, that's God's plan. Submit, obey, have a gentle, quiet spirit, honor him respectfully. And you'll see, you get much further with him. But you know, what is God saying to the man? Yeah? He's saying, love as Christ loved the church. You know, women think they got a high calling. But men got a much higher calling, I can say. Because he is saying, love as Christ loved the church. Now, how did Christ love the church? Christ gave himself for the church. He gave himself sacrificial life. You know, it crushes men because they fall short. We all fall short of this. Marital love is like death. It wants all of us. It wants all of us. It claims everything. Death to self. So if you marry as a man, you must know it's death to yourself. It's death to self. Marriage is a call to die. And the man who does not die for his wife does not come close to love, to the love to which he is called. Because Christ is saying, as Christ loved the church, and Christ gave his life. The marriage vows are the beginning of a lifelong practice to death, of giving over not all you have, but all you are. It's not enough just to give her some things. You must give yourself over to her. Are you doing that? Are you giving yourself up? Are you giving yourself to try to understand her, even when it's difficult? Even when she's acting wrong, are you still giving yourself to accept her? To accept her. Ephesians is going further. It is saying, elevating, it is sanctifying love. Because marriage reveals self-centeredness. No? It reveals it. But God is calling the man to make her holy. You must seek her sanctification. And he is therefore saying, you must wash your wife with the word. Now, how do we wash ourselves? Do we take a steel brush? Wash ourselves? No. We would use a soft cloth to wash ourselves. Now, why do we want to use the steel brush on my wife? Eh? Why do we want to do that? No, we must wash softly. Now, if you see something on you that needs a little bit more, you'll take a little brush and you'll brush that place. And that's the same. If the wife is not responding to the word, then you also wash a little bit harder. And if that spot stays there, if it's not getting off by washing, what will you do? You will take yourself to the doctor. And you will take your wife to the doctor for counseling, for help. You will get help for that problem. You will not just leave it there. That is sanctifying love, to make her holy. That's the question. Is my wife more like Christ because she's married to me? Am I helping my wife to grow in faith, to come closer to God? Because I love her as Christ loved the church. Yeah? Love as Christ loved the church. Love her as you love yourself. That's what he is saying in verse 28 to verse 30. How do we love ourselves? We love ourselves very much. That's why he's using it. How do we love ourselves? If we get cold, what do? We put on something. Why? Because we love ourselves. We don't want to get cold. If we feel something here, we are hungry, what do? We eat. Why? Because we love ourselves. And that's what he is saying. Love your wife as yourself. So if you see your wife is getting cold, get her a physical jacket, yes, but also it is for emotional. It's for emotional as well. If you see your wife needs something, because the word is saying, she is your body. Care for her. If she's getting cold, give her something. If she's hungry, give her something. And not just physical, emotional as well. We must emotionally fulfill those needs of my wife. Then I'm loving her as Christ loved the church. Christ gave himself and is caring for us daily. And in that way, we must care for our wives. Physically, emotionally, I must try to understand her. Socially, I must talk to her. I must take her to those that she loves, that she can talk to them as well. Then I'm loving my wife. He's saying in Ephesians 5:32, this is a mystery. This mystery is profound. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. That's how a marriage relation must be. It must be a picture of the relationship between Christ and his church. And you must ask yourself, in my marriage, is it a picture of the relation between Christ and his church? And not just when we are in public, but when we are alone. When we are alone, is it still a picture of Christ and the church? Can you see the high calling of a man? Because the man must take the responsibility to do that. It's a mystery. It is a thing that cannot work if we do not have God and his Holy Spirit in us to guide us and to have the commitment that I spoke about in the beginning. So therefore, there must be commitment. As a man, as a woman, we must be committed to do my part of God's plan. We must pray together. We must spend time together. We must plan it to get together. Because life is quick. Life is sucking us in. I'm always saying life is like a big vacuum cleaner. It wants to just suck us in. And we want to get busy. The man gets busy, the woman gets busy, and we are going apart. Therefore, we must spend time together, and we must be planned to be together. We must be creative. If there's no pain, there's no gain. It takes something. It asks something to do God's plan. It's not just by itself. It's not something that just happens. That's the big mistake many are making. They think by just marrying everything will just happen. No. To do God's plan, it really asks something on all the areas. Therefore, to have a happy marriage, live God's plan for your marriage, not your own. If you want to live your plan for marriage, it will end up in a divorce. But if you live God's plan, the woman to submit to her husband, to have a soft, quiet spirit, to be respectful. How do you speak about your husband to your friends? How do you speak to him? Is it in a respectful, soft, quiet way? Do you speak respectfully of him to others? because the story is always coming back. And the man, to love your wife as Christ loved the church, to give yourself, that's God's plan. And if we fulfill God's plan, there can be a happy marriage. Let us pray. Lord, it is true that you made us differently, that you made us to want to be with each other as husband and wife. And that's your plan. You gave us a perfect plan, Lord. But so many times, because of our selfishness, the plan is failing. Not because the plan is bad, but because of us. And I pray for repentance in each of us, man and woman, that we will repent and that we will do that what you ask of us. Please, Lord, we need you. We need you to work in our marriages, that we can stay committed to each other. Lord, it's so easy to drift apart. Remind us through your Spirit that we will not do it. Thank you, Lord, that we may trust you for this. In Jesus' name, Amen.